Good morning, everyone. We are in the midst of our sermon series that we're calling Christianese. And we have been defining Christianese as the language Christians use that is totally foreign to people outside the church and often misunderstood by people in the church. And so we have been recognizing that we need to be intentional with the language that we use outside of the Christian subculture, because communication is not simply me telling somebody something. If the person has not understood what I'm saying, there has not been communication. So we need to be intentional about the language we use outside of the Christian subculture, and we need to do a little bit of work to make sure we're all on the same page within the subculture. And so each week we've looked at a different word or phrase so we can find a little bit of common ground with some of those words. We looked at quiet time, fellowship, accepting Jesus in your heart, justification, sanctification, glorification. Last week was mission. And this morning we get the word blessed. Blessed or blessed, depending on where you put the emphasis on the syllable. So what does it mean to be blessed? Now, before we go there, I need you to answer a question privately. I don't want a show of hands. I don't want a verbal response yet. Do you consider yourself blessed? Do you consider yourself blessed? Now, how you answer that question and the reasons for your answer reveals something about your understanding of what blessed or blessing is. Do you consider yourself blessed? We got to ask the question, though, what does it mean to be blessed? Because we use that word often. We say a blessing before a meal. Say, God bless America. We say, oh, bless his heart. Which I learned basically means he's an idiot. We consider something or someone a blessing. We say hashtag blessed. Interestingly enough, I went online, did a Google image search, and I put in hashtag blessed. The first image to pop up, that. Now, don't get me wrong. That looks great. And I think if that was me in one of those, I'd consider myself a little blessed. But here's the thing. Is that a complete understanding of what it means to be blessed? Daniel Barman writes this. I occasionally hear Christians reflect on how God has blessed them throughout their lives. Sometimes this idea of blessing includes things like good health or the birth of children and grandchildren. Sometimes it refers to the joy of seeing family members walk with God. Those are blessings indeed. But some people who say they have been blessed by God are also talking about their material prosperity. Sometimes, in fact, they're talking only about their material prosperity. In the minds of many, God's blessing and our material prosperity are one and the same. If I have a good marriage, a successful job, a nice home in the suburbs, and beautiful children, it must mean that God is happy with me and showing me his blessing through all of these things. Why else would my life be so full and rich? While that type of thinking is common, it's not necessarily biblical. So, begs the question, what does the Bible have to say about blessing? Now, your Bible, written in English, was not originally written in English. Old Testament written almost exclusively in the language of Hebrew. New Testament, the vast majority of it written in Greek. In Hebrew, there are two different words that we translate as blessed or blessing. In Greek, there are two words that we translate as blessed or blessing. The first Hebrew word is the Hebrew word barak. The word barak actually has two different definitions. So, the first definition of the Hebrew word barak, to fill with benefits. So when you see the Hebrew word barak in the Old Testament, it's often talking about someone being filled with benefits. You see this in Genesis 24 when Abraham's servant is saying this about Abraham, the Lord has blessed Barak. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly and he has become wealthy. It's the same word. This word barak is the same word you see used in the story of Job. So towards the end of Job's life, after he has suffered greatly, the Lord blesses Job. Word there, barak. And the blessing shows up because he ends up with lots of cattle and lots of sheep and lots of oxen. He gets lots of stuff. And he is labeled as being blessed, barak. So in these instances, material provision and blessing go together. But here's the thing. We cannot reduce what barak is talking about to simply material blessing. Because the other way that barak is used in the Old Testament is to bend the knee, to worship, to praise. I would add to that, to humble yourself, to obey. So you get this in Psalm 103. We read it earlier. Bless the Lord, O my soul, barak, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, barak. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So the picture here is you are to humble yourself before the Lord, to submit to the Lord. So people ask, what does it mean to bless the Lord? Well, the word barak here is saying that we are to kneel before the Lord, to humble ourselves, to acknowledge that all that we have and all that we have been given is for him and from him. So some of you have heard me tell this story before. Years ago, my wife was teaching a 7th and 8th grade class, and she asked me to come teach her Bible lesson one day. Sure. So I go to this class, and in the midst of it, we're talking about how God has provided for us. And I said that everything that we have, everything that we've been given is a gift from God. The very breath in our lungs is a gift from God, to which one student said, no, it isn't. I said, excuse me? I learned later the reason that Jen asked me to come teach that day was because of that kid. I said, every breath in our lungs is a gift from God. No, it isn't. I said, excuse me? He goes, it's an act of my free will. I am choosing to breathe. I looked at him, I go, do me a favor. Hold your breath for 10 minutes. And he goes, no. I go, why not? I'll die. I said, you won't die. Hold your breath for 10 minutes. He goes, no. I go, why not? He goes, I'll die. I go, you're not going to die. Hold your breath for 10 minutes. He goes, and as soon as he started to say no again, I go, you're not going to die. You're going to pass out unconscious. And guess what's going to happen while you're laying there all unconscious? You're going to start to breathe. And that breathing at that moment is an act of your free will. It's the fact that you were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. The very breath in your lungs is a gift from God. To barak, to bless the Lord, is to acknowledge that all that we have, all that we are, is a gift from him. And so we are to humble ourselves before the Lord. We are to submit to his way of doing things, which leads us to the next word that is often translated as blessed, and that is the Hebrew word esher. Definition of esher is to be happy, content, to be in a good place. If you're familiar with how the book of Psalms begins, this is the word that's used. So in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and following, it says, blessed esher is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So what the psalmist is saying here, if you want to have a life that can be described as content, healthy, happy, do things God's way. He's showing you how to live a life where there is satisfaction. If you're familiar with what it says in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In other words, what the wisdom writers in Psalms and Proverbs are saying is, here's the way to live. Live this way, and you will know Esher. Live this way, and you will experience happiness, contentment, satisfaction. You'll be in a good place. It's important to note that throughout the Old Testament, blessing, whether it's Barak or Esher, is always linked to relationship with Yahweh and living as Yahweh calls us to live. You cannot separate blessing from the fact that we are called to be in relationship with the Almighty. Which takes us into the New Testament, and now we get a little bit of Greek. First word, makarios. A form of the word makarios, which is essentially the Greek equivalent of Esher. Because makarios means to be fully satisfied. This is what Mick Jagger could not understand. I just can't get no satisfaction. You're looking in the wrong place, buddy. To be in a happy, content, or fully satisfied place happens in relationship with God. It's interesting, though, when you look at the word makarios, it shows up a little over 100 times in the New Testament. Over 100 times in the New Testament. And not once does makarios get linked with material prosperity. Not a single time. If you read the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, what's it say? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, blessed are those that are persecuted. Every time it's a form of makarios. Or consider when Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Or James, who said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Satisfaction is not linked anywhere in the New Testament to material prosperity. Vinitha Risner writes this, there is no hint of material prosperity or perfect circumstances in any New Testament reference to makarios. On the contrary, blessing is typically connected with either poverty and trial, or the spiritual benefits of being joined by faith to Jesus. What is blessing then? She goes on to write. Scripture shows that blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. Anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and hold on more tightly to the eternal. And often, it is the struggles and trials, the aching disappointments, and the unfulfilled longings that best enable us to do that. Think about the people that have the most material prosperity. How often do those people get linked to the word satisfied? Risner goes on to write, pain and loss transform us. While they sometimes unravel us, they can also push us to a deeper life with God than we ever thought possible. They make us rest in God alone. Not what we can do or achieve for him. In pain and loss, we long for presence. We long to know that God is for us and with us and in us. Great families, financial wealth, and good health are all wonderful gifts we can thank God for, but they are not his greatest blessing. They may make us delight not in God, but in the gifts. And she concludes by saying, God's greatest blessing always rests in God himself. When we have that, we are truly #blessed. One more word that we find in the New Testament is the word eulogio. Eulogio, not used as often, means to give a good report or say a good word to speak well of. It's where we get the word eulogy. So when someone delivers a eulogy, what are they doing? They're saying good things about somebody. And in doing so, they're blessing them. You don't see it as often, but Jesus does use this word a couple different times. When he says, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good. Hey, love your enemies. Say good things to them and about them. Or when he says, looking up to heaven, this right before the feeding of the 5,000. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, he blessed, he eulogioed, and broke the loaves. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have provided this for everyone here. So those are our words. So, to summarize, before we put some action to this, what is blessing? And I'm stealing a lot of this from Risner because I love the way that she summarized it. What is blessing? Anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. If God has given you something, it's making you more satisfied in him, not satisfied in the thing, but in him, that's a blessing. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. And again, as was noted earlier, oftentimes that's the difficult times. That's blessing. Anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and become increasingly passionate about the kingdom of God. Wait a second, I can let go of this stuff and be part of what God is doing? That is blessing. Often it is the struggles, it is the trials, the aching disappointments, and the unfulfilled longings that best enable us to do that. Material wealth, absence of difficulty, often make us more self-reliant than God-dependent. We are to acknowledge who God is and what God has done, because that takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it onto God. Johanna Reardon wrote this, and I loved it. We can never be happy when we live self-centered lives. We may be fooled into thinking we're happy for a while, but eventually it will fold in on us because true happiness can be found only in a relationship with our Creator. Period. If you're looking to experience blessing, it cannot be apart from relationship with the Almighty. It just doesn't work. It does not work. So, what are we to do? I've got an idea. I was wrestling with this all week. I said, hold on, what do we do with this? Well, first thing, Esher Makarios. Acknowledge that satisfaction and contentment only comes from a relationship with the Almighty. First step. And remember, this Esher Makarios, oh my goodness, yes. My satisfaction, my contentment is always in relationship with the Almighty. The first step to doing to having a life that could be described as blessed is to acknowledge, I need him. I need him. Which takes us to the next step. Barak eulogio. So at that point, we go, wait a second. Not only do I go, oh my goodness, yes, all I have is from him and is for him. If I'm going to live a life that is content, that is satisfied, that is empowered, I first acknowledge and then I go, wait a second, all I have is for him. And so what's my response? Barak, I'm on bended knee. I submit to his way. It's interesting. Obedience is not a prerequisite to salvation. Romans makes it clear, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But the life that he desires for us to live requires obedience. It requires us to be a barak kind of people, where we humble ourselves, recognize, wait a second, I can only have satisfaction in relationship with him, and so now I am going to acknowledge that all I have is from him and for him, and I will praise him with my obedience and my generosity. Which takes us to the third step. What do we do if we want to live a life that can be described as blessed? Share the blessings. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. It's where we get this idea of we have been blessed to be a blessing. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go backwards here. So if this is the sequence, I am choosing to confess that the only way I can know happiness, contentment, satisfaction, the only way for me to be in a good and a healthy place is in relationship with the Almighty. And then I acknowledge that all that I have is a gift from him and for him, and so I will praise his name through my submission before him and living in the way that he's called me to live. And how has he called me to live? I'm to take all that I have been given and give it. Wait, you've been blessed? Share that with somebody else. You have material provisions? Share that with other people. You have peace and hope and joy in a world in desperate need of peace and hope and joy? Share that. You have a relationship with God? Share that. This is what God is saying. I have given you much so that you can give much away. Takes us back to our original question. Do you believe that you are blessed? And I said that the way you answer that question reveals your understanding of what it means to be blessed. If you conclude that a beach chair on the beach is what blessing is all about, then it's easy to conclude that other people are more blessed than you. If you conclude that the absence of troubles and trials is what blessing is, then it'll be easy to conclude that other people are more blessed than you because their life seems easier. But if we believe that God is good and that God is faithful, then we must conclude that our present situation or circumstance is not the totality of our story. If we believe that God is present and drawing us closer and nearer to himself, if we believe that God is refining us, if we believe that God is inviting us into the difficult and really important work of confession, repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation, if we believe that God is teaching us that satisfaction and contentment are only fully experienced in relationship with him, if we believe that God is inviting us to partner with him in sharing hope and joy and love with a world in desperate need of hope and joy and love, if we believe all that to be true, it changes or strengthens our answer to the question, do you believe you are blessed? Consider this. Is God present? Yeah, everybody gets the answer to that. Do you believe that God is present? Is God calling you to greater dependence on him and deeper intimacy with him? Is God inviting you to participate with him in his work of transformation in the world? Consider these three questions, because it really is important to how we answer the question, are we blessed? If the answer to these questions is yes, yes, God is present. Yes, God is calling me to places of greater dependence and intimacy. Yes, God is inviting me to be part of what he is doing to reconcile the world. If the answer to these questions is yes, then we have to conclude we are truly blessed. Pray with me, please.